God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. This is Bishop H.D. Haywood Sr., Chairman of the UFCCM Ministry of Communications, sitting right here in the broadcast studios all the way at UFCCM Midwest, Wisconsin, where Bishop W.J. Strong is our jurisdictional prelate, and of course, Bishop Henry A. Tindall Sr. is our international presiding prelate. I want to say that something that I always say, and it is this: I am so excited that my excited is excited. Now that's some excitement. Bishop Tindall listened to the Lord, received a word from the Lord to bring to us a 3-day internet radio revival. And I am convinced if you tell a friend, tell a neighbor, post it on Facebook, share it, whatever you need to do, they will be blessed, you'll be blessed, and I'm telling you, the Lord will also be blessed. You remember that old song, Bless the Lord? Well, the Lord will be blessed because of your efforts. Now listen, right after this 2008 special throwback music selection from our UFCCM conference, the conference choir was represented by First Church of Faith and Deliverance in Baltimore, Maryland. And then right after that selection, there's going to be a quick intro by our beloved late Bishop Bullock. And then after that, the next voice you'll hear will be that of Bishop Henry A. Tindall Sr.
Just a little while longer. Hold on. Just a little while longer. Hold on. Just a
you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your spirit has indeed been manifested here right now. Nothing, absolute nothing, should ever supplant the Word of God. So we have now arrived at one of the most sacred moments in our service. That is the Word of God. That is the Word of God.
Good evening, everybody, and praise be to God for all of you who have taken the time out to join with us and share in this radio broadcast tonight. Some time ago, the Lord laid it upon our spirit to do something that we have not done before, and that is to have an on-air revival by means of radio. And I want to thank the Lord for all of you who have given up your time and of your energies behind the scenes to make this possible. I want to talk about something that we have spoken about several years ago, but the Lord had brought it back into my heart, and I want to speak with you tonight concerning five deadly enticements. Now, there are going to be several scriptures that we will be using as we go into the Word of God tonight. But just before we do that, give me just a moment to approach the throne of grace once more. Eternal God, in the name of your dear Son, our Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to share a rhema from the Logo, a word from the Word. We submit ourselves into the hands of the Holy Spirit, and we ask you to have your way and use us according to your perfect will. Lord, you have said that your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish the purpose whereunto you send it. Thus, Lord, we stand before your people and send forth that which you have placed in our spirits. You know, oftentimes we make our plans for how we want to do things, but it is the leading of the Holy Spirit that directs us in all that we do. And he has laid it upon my heart to speak about the five deadly enticements. I'm sure that all of you know what we mean when we speak of enticement. Noah Webster defines the word enticement as something that persuades one to perform an action for pleasure or gain. The Free Dictionary defines enticement as to attract by arousing hope or desire, to lure. There is also a legal definition for the word enticement, which is quite lengthy, but basically it says to entice is to wrongfully elicit, to persuade, procure, or lure, attract, draw by blandishment, coax, or seduce, to lure, to induce, to tempt, incite, or persuade a person to do something. It seems that the purpose and the result of enticement is more often than not negative. Enticements so many times are for negative reasons, to get someone to do something that they normally would not do. Perhaps that is why the wise sage of the scripture, Solomon, said in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 and verse 16, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood." So we see that to entice someone is to get them to do something that is against their will, inherent within which is an element of danger, with results possibly leading even unto death. Now, The Lord has told me to use the adverb deadly in front of the word enticements, because the result of Satan's purposes is enticing one to a spiritual death. The devil is not concerned about your physically dying. He knows that we know that these houses in which we live and made of clay are eventually going to die. Hebrews 9:27 is one verse in the scripture on which the devil is in complete agreement. It says, and it is appointed unto man once to die. Unless Jesus snatches up the church first, then every one of us is going to die. Dying, quite frankly, is a natural part of the process of life. You may live beyond the time frame God has given to us, which is 70 years or 70 years of age. You may live beyond that. You may live to be 80 or 90 or 100, but eventually you are going to die. So the devil is not worried so much about enticing you in the sense that he is enticing you to do something to bring about your death. What he wants to do is entice you to experience spiritual death, which is complete and total separation from God in hell for all eternity. And that is the reason why the Lord has laid it upon our heart to speak this message on the 5 deadly enticements. As a message to God's people and as a warning to any who is not saved, the Lord instructed me to talk about these 5 deadly enticements. There may be more than 5. These are not the only ones that I will be talking about, but these are the 5 which the Lord has placed in my spirit that are paramount to the body of Christ, all believers, whether you've been walking with the Lord a day or a decade. Even more so are they important to those that are not saved. Satan does not want the unsaved to hear the word of God and accept Jesus, and he will never cease to entice you, beloved, to do wrong, and he will use anything at his disposal to do so. This word, incidentally, is not given to me as to show you how bad you are. You already know that. We all know each other. This series is designed to show you how good God is, and for that, we want to say thank you, Jesus, right there. In John 3:16, we read, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What they miss too frequently is John 3:17. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So we will be talking about these 5 parts of the body that, while not enticements, are constantly used by the devil as instruments of enticement. So we will be talking about the enticement through the sense of sight, which is the eye, the enticement through the sense of hearing, the ear, the enticement through the sense of taste, which is the tongue, the enticement through the sense of smell, which is the nose, and of course, the enticement through the sense of touch, which is the largest organ in the body, and that is your skin. Through these messages, I want you to see that the devil will make it his business to use each and every one of these enticements, whether singularly or in combination, to cause you to get separated from God or to the sinner to never get right with God. Every person, particularly those of us who are believers and should be aware and knowledgeable of how Satan uses these enticements to deceive and to weaken, even kill and destroy the relationship that we have with the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. That means be watchful. That means be in your right mind. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whomever he may to devour. Your adversary is not your friend. Your adversary is the one that opposes you, that stands against you. Your adversary is the one who will look you in the face, smile, stab you in the back, and then look you in the eye and say, wonder where the blood come from. Your adversary means you no good. Let me pause for just a moment here in order to tell you about an adversary. You need to be very careful, beloved, about whom you keep company with, about what you see and what you hear. Yes, what you smell, taste, and touch. Be mindful of your environment. That is the atmosphere around you. Let me give you an example. Some time ago, I found out that secondhand cigarette smoke is more deadly than the smoke originally taken in when one smokes a cigarette. Jesus had it right when he said, it is not what comes out of a man that defiles him, that goes in a man that defiles him. When that smoke goes into the lungs of a person and comes out of the lungs, it combines with the gases inside that person's system. And when those gases come out, they are far more deadly than the smoke that goes into the lungs. They go in as smoke, nicotine, tar, and they will do their damage to that person. But the carcinogens that come out when the smoke is expelled from the body can have a devastating and deadly effect. Scientists realize that this, and that is why so many places throughout the country are now designated no smoking areas. One thing, however, that really gets me, restaurants, no smoking, hospitals, no smoking. Yet, right in front of the door, where it says no smoking, I'll see professionals and workers come right out and light up a cigarette almost right in front of the door. As a matter of fact, they now have put up signs saying no smoking within a certain number of feet to the entrance of the hospital, and yet people will be standing right in front of the sign smoking. Your adversary, Satan, is like that. He will do everything he can in a bodacious manner to entice you to do what is wrong, and he is not timid about it at all. He makes it his modus operandi or method of operation to use natural human sensory perceptions as pathways to enter the mind. He uses the sense of sight, hearing, taste, touch, and smell specifically to entice. Have you ever noticed how the devil will always work with what's there? His battleground upon which he seeks engagement is your mind. If you allow him to enter your mind, then he has the advantage of choosing the field of battle. Therefore, it behooves you as a believer, as a Christian, to prevent Satan from entering into the realm of your thoughts. Don't allow him to bring about enticements that will allow him to gain a pathway into your mind. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant concerning his devices.
Amen. Dear listeners, we're so pleased that you have joined us for this broadcast. And we want you to know, Bishop Tindall wants you to know that this is not our only broadcast. The UFCCM Laity Outreach broadcast, which is sponsored by the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training, comes to you on the second Saturday of every month at 12 noon Eastern Time. These broadcasts feature powerful lessons from the chair lady of USCCM Laity Training, as well as some of our USCCM bishops and other well-versed ministers and speakers from within the USCCM. You are cordially invited to join us for any of these broadcasts, and you know you can join by simply going to UFCCM Anointed Internet Radio, Facebook, or at UFCCM.org. Just before our bishop returns to continue this powerful message, if these words that he is sharing with you from the Lord touch you, please be aware that at the close of this broadcast, you may call in your special request for prayer. The chairman of the USCCM Intercessory Prayer Ministry, one of our overseers, and some of our bishops from across the United States will be standing by to receive your call, and they will pray with you for your request. Go to the USCCM website at USCCM.org for the prayer request call-in number. That is USCCM.org, and you will see the prayer request call-in number. Now, beloved, let us hear more of this powerful, life-changing word from Bishop Tindall.
Yes, beloved, according to the word of God, you can stop the devil in his tracks. Do not think for one moment that you are unable to do so. That's what the devil wants you to think. His goal is to get you to think and believe that such things as I'm too weak, I'm not strong enough, I'm not sanctified enough, I haven't been a Christian long enough, I don't know the way that well. Oh no, you tell the devil straight up what Paul said in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 13, which says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That means that even if you are the youngest of believers, the least skillful or knowledgeable in the faith, you need to understand that the Lord wants you to know that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Therefore, the devil can be stopped in his tracks, not by your power, not by your authority, but by the presence of him that dwells in you. Just like the angel told the prophet Zechariah concerning Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. For those of you that the devil may try to convince that you can't do it and that you can't stop him, I want to give you a few scriptures from the Old Testament. In Joshua chapter 23, verse 10, if you recall what is going on here, Moses, God's anointed servant, had led the children of Israel to the entrance of the promised land. Yet he himself was not able to go over into the promised land, the land of Canaan. After 40 years of wilderness wandering, the children of Israel comes to the border of the promised land, and their exalted leader is not permitted to take them over into the promised land. So Moses goes up to Mount Nebo, where he's led by the angels. There, the Lord will allow him to see the promised land, but he's not able to enter the promised land. The point here is that previously, the devil had enticed Moses. Yes, he had enticed an anointed man of God to act rashly and cause him to miss out on entering the earthly promised land. Now, that's part of the reasons for the devil's enticement. You're saving, you may not miss heaven, but you can miss out on so many blessings that Jesus wants you to have down here by succumbing to Satan's enticements. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. The devil is not only a liar, he's a thief. And he wants to use enticements to rob you of the abundancy of life that Jesus willingly desires for every believer to have. You need life for nothing if you allow the Lord to be Lord of your life and lead you in the path of righteousness. Consider this. Don't let anybody cause you to act against your will. If you are allowing somebody else to dictate to you that is how you feel or what you think of yourself, then you are not in control. They are. As long as somebody else can create situations where you act out of character, they're stronger than you are. They are in control, and you are not. You're not even in control of your own self. God wants you to go back and remember that. I'm going to put the word you in there. Well, it's very personal. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Though you make me angry, you're not going to cause me to sin. The word said we may get angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your anger. Though you may hurt my feelings, you're not going to cause me to strike out. Though you stole from me and caused things to go badly in my life, I have learned to stand still, hold my peace, and let the Lord fight my battles. If the devil convinces and entices you to fix it yourself, you're usually going to make a bigger mess than it was to begin with. Because I believe if I hold my peace, the Lord will handle my battle for me. I hope this is speaking to you right now. I hope you're getting something from this. In Joshua chapter 23, verse 10, as it talks about what God speaks to Joshua. Now, the children of Israel have lost their leader, Moses. He's buried by the angels on Mount Nebo. To this day, no one knows where his grave is. But God appointed another leader for them. He's a young man named Joshua. Now, the name Joshua is a derivative of the Hebrew word that means salvation is of the Lord, or Jesus saved. Joshua's job is to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan River by the walls of Jericho into the promised land. And that is the mission of the church. That is what we are concerned about in the UFCCM. We don't want you to go part way and stop. We don't want you to look at the Jordan that's in front of you or the problem that you're facing or the situation that you're dealing with. We don't want you to look at those things and get discouraged and allow the devil to entice you into that complacent spirit where you just want to throw up your hands and say, I can't make it or I can't do it. Two of you together can put the devil to a flight. God wants you to know that if you will trust him and commit your ways to him, he will deliver you out of all of your distress. And so when we look at this thing concerning Joshua taking over from Moses, God tells Joshua, as I was with Moses, so am I going to be with you. I want you to get this point. Jesus Christ is the one that's able to give you deliverance. He is able to set you free. He won't just break yokes in your life, but he destroys yokes. He is able to bring you up from wherever you are. If you're bound tonight, if you're bound with bad habits, if you're bound by drugs, if you're bound by an alternative lifestyle, if you're bound by things that you seemingly can't get free from, I want you to know that Jesus gave his life for you. He's ready to take you from where you are into your spiritual promised land. When you first get saved and become a Christian, when you first begin your early walk with the Lord, don't you know that the Lord commissions angels to be with you? Some folk limit this to one angel, which they call a guardian angel. But let me tell you something. You have a bevy of angels. You have angels for everything you need. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says that God makes angels ministering spirits to those that will become heirs to the kingdom of God. So the very moment you were saved, angels were assigned to your life. Thank God and give praise to God that you have them assigned to you. And let me tell you something, take time and meet them. They're real, just as real as anything else. They're not God, you don't pray to them, but take time and meet them. And if you've never seen them, if you've never been able to hear them or touch them, just know by faith that they are there. And I have a powerful word a little later on in this message when I'll be talking about the angels and their ministry to you. But the enticement of the eye, because I want you to know that you have more than two eyes. But let's finish this up with Joshua chapter 23, verse 10. I think I have about 2 minutes left, and then we'll have to stop for tonight, but we will continue this one tomorrow. God says to Joshua, one man of you shall chase a thousand. One man of you can chase a thousand, and it's quite true. He was speaking in a physical sense of the children of Israel fighting a physical battle against physical people. But the Apostle Paul tells us that we are now, that is believers, we are the Israel of God. So every blessing that God decreed upon Israel now belongs to you. So catch this. You as one Christian have the spiritual authority by the power of God to chase a thousand devils. Wait, let me correct that. You have the power to chase what? A thousand demons. There's only one devil, but there's a whole lot of demons, and one of you have the power to chase a thousand. If you've touched on the Word of God tonight, make it your business to call into the prayer line. Talk to one of our counselors, one of our bishops. They will pray for you, minister with you, even if you're already a believer and just need encouragement. They're standing by, and our announcer is going to give you more information concerning them at this time.
If you have accepted Christ or would like to share your testimony after listening to this powerful word from Bishop Tindall, please email us at mytestimony@ufccm.org. That's mytestimony@ufccm.org. If you have a special prayer request, prayer intercessors are standing by right after this broadcast revival for 15 minutes, waiting to take your call. Our prayer line number is 888-502-0513, extension 2. That's 888-502-0513, extension 2. Once again, 888-502-0513, extension 2. The number is also listed on our website at ufccm.org. If lines are busy, don't give up. Please keep trying. If you would like to support this ministry of the UFCCM, you may do so by going to ufccm.org and click on Givelify. We appreciate your support to this ministry. Go to UFCCM and click on Givelify and give. Please join us tomorrow night at the same time for UFCCM Revival on the Air, AIRR. That stands for Anointed Internet Radio Revival. There will be another powerful, life-changing word from Bishop Tindall. There is a word from the Lord for you. Invite somebody to listen in and sit with you in this radio revival. Prayer intercessors, again, remember, are standing by right after this revival broadcast for 15 minutes, waiting to take your call. That number is 888-502-0513, extension 2. You can find it on our website, in the chat room, and on Facebook.